damaging them. That would no doubt allow him to generate far more power in his attacks, provided that the skill fractals could accommodate all that extra energy. However, even though the flow of cosmic energy far eclipsed anything he'd felt before, he still noticed dozens of spots in his pathways that worsened the circulation. They reminded Zack of stagnant ponds in the middle of a river of cosmic energy, disrupting the flow and tainting the outlet. They could be found all over his body, but they seemed to mainly be in critical spots, with almost two-thirds being found in his head and torso. But there were also places like this in every major joint and next to the locations that housed or could house skill fractals. Were these hazy ponds the nodes he needed to break? It was as though these stagnant pools in his pathways both contained some sort of leaks, while simultaneously blocking the flow. With this happening all over his body, he felt he could only use his body to a fraction of its real potential. And it was no wonder that fixing these trouble spots by breaking open nodes would boost one's attributes. His mental image of nodes had been completely different compared to how these things looked. He had pictured something like a pressurized tank he needed to push more and more energy into until it finally popped. But it seemed like it was more like a clog in a pipe that needed to get flushed. But even with all these obstructions in his upgraded pathways, there was no denying that the speed with which he could circulate cosmic energy had increased by at least 5 times. That was pretty huge as well, as it would drastically cut down on recuperation time, since it meant he would be able to absorb Nexus crystals a lot faster. He still was barely better than Theia, who was still an F grade, but he was doomed to fall short in this regard when compared to elite cultivators. But with his vitality and endurance, he would be able to keep fighting almost continuously, which would be needed if he wanted to move through the levels quickly. Chapter 75. Clashing Versions. Since he was done with checking what he needed to in his human form, he finally swapped over to his Draugr side. The process activated as usual, but Zack frowned when he felt that it took almost 3 seconds to transform, which was a lot worse compared to before he evolved. Was it because the pathways had become more complicated, and swapping them out took more time and energy? However, there was still a solution. The transformation skill Uriel provided was geared toward the F grade, and it could hopefully be upgraded to once again shrink the time it took to change forms. The skill was unfortunately something that the C-grade ghost had put together without much thought, and it had neither proficiencies nor an upgrade path. Zack would either have to figure out a way to recreate the skill, or wait until he could enter the inheritance trial again. He could only put the issue aside before opening his class menu once again, as there were some things he wanted to confirm there as well.
Class E, Epic, Fetters of Desolation. Strength, +50, +5%. Endurance, +50, +5%. Wisdom, +50, +5%. Level, strength, +11/22/33. Endurance, +8/16/24. Wisdom, +5/10/15. +10 free. Skills, blighted cut. Locked.
Zack was a bit surprised that he had gained equal parts in the 3 attributes from the class, even though he would gain more than twice the amount of strength compared to wisdom at each level. But that was great news for Zack, as he was already pretty lopsided toward strength with his class choices, while his low mental defense was his biggest weakness. A quick mental calculation confirmed what Zack had expected. The per-level gains from his old classes remained, but the flat class bonuses had been swapped out. For example, Undying Bulwark had provided 10% endurance and 5% vitality before, but 5% of the endurance and all of the vitality was swapped out for strength and wisdom. There was still a net gain, as the flat attributes increased drastically, but it was still a bit of a shame. One of his strong suits was his almost inhuman endurance, but that advantage would slightly weaken in favor of the massive amounts of strength he would rack up during the E-grade. Perhaps it might even be worth putting some of his free points into endurance to maintain the lead over normal cultivators. He opened his quest menu next, and interestingly enough, the Sovereignty quest wasn't there in his Draugr form. Was the quest chain perhaps connected to the race he was when the integration started? He still hadn't gained his Draugr form when completing the first quest, after all. There was a skill quest, though, and Zack breathed out in relief when he read the task. Blighted Cut, Class, kill an evolved being of equal or higher level with a single non-lethal cut. Reward, Blighted Cut skill, 0 of 1. The quest for Blighted Cut was thankfully a lot more straightforward compared to the one for Rapturous Divide. However, it was still not a free win by any means, as it seemed to put very high demands on the corrosive effects of his Tao. That was at least Zack's takeaway, going by the name of the skill. He needed to make a non-lethal attack lethal with the help of his caustic power. The fragment of the coffin contained a decent corrosive effect, but it always required him to stack up numerous wounds to create an effect strong enough to cause real harm. For example, Faceless Number 9 had been completely covered in rotting wounds by the time he finally gave up, but it wasn't enough to actually take him out. It meant that he would have to make some inroads into the death aspect of his cultivation path as well to complete this quest. Perhaps the system felt that he had utilized too many Tao treasures to prop up the seed of rot, leaving the foundation lacking. Zack shook his head as he turned his sight inward, and unfortunately it looked like the bad news would just keep coming. His pathways had been reformed just like in his human form, but there were some other changes. The once perfect fit of the class skills was ruined for multiple skills, mainly those that dealt with pure defense. However, he noted that the fit for Profane Seal, Death Wish, and Immutable was just fine, while the fit of Winds of Decay had actually improved. This was just what Zack had expected, though, where he moved away from a defensive class toward a more offensively geared one. But more importantly, the nodes looked completely identical in his Draugr form as in his human side. The effect the nodes had on the flow of energy through the pathways wasn't exactly the same, as the two sets of pathways differed from each other, but the nodes themselves were in the exact same position. It was clear to him that the nodes weren't actually a part of the pathways themselves, but rather something tied to his body. However, they didn't feel corporeal at the same time, but rather intangible. Zack suddenly had an idea, as a knife appeared in his hand, and he stabbed his leg, aiming right for a node. Black ichor started dripping down his leg, but the bleeding quickly stopped thanks to Zack's massive pool of vitality. However, Zack was more interested in the fact that the node he'd just struck showed no reaction at all from being stabbed. It ruined one idea he had, where he would forcibly rip the nodes open and rely on his inhuman durability to recuperate. It simply didn't work. The situation clearly hinted at a situation where he would only need to break open each node once. This was great news for his leveling speed, but it was horrible news for his attribute gain. Of course, he would have to confirm his hypothesis by actually cracking open a node and gaining a level, but it looked pretty clear-cut from where he sat. There was one more thing he wanted to consume before he ended his seclusion, but he first wanted to tell his sister he was fine. However, the scenes from the tribulation repeated in his mind upon thinking of Kenzie, and he was unsure what to think. Was their mother really on the way back to take his sister somewhere? And judging by the malice and madness in her eyes, she might just kill Zack along with the whole planet if she was in a bad mood. Her ability to simply conjure a spatial portal out of nothing proved she was a big shot, though he had already suspected as much. Not only was she involved with a peak force like Firmament's Edge, but her necklace seemed to be some sort of ghost key that gave blanket access to technocrat facilities. The necklace by itself was a cause for concern, and he took it out of his spatial ring and looked it over. Reaching the E-grade, unfortunately, hadn't increased his skills of discernment, and he still couldn't find any clues of how it worked. However, the moment he touched the token with his mind in an attempt to look inside, a drastic change occurred. The token hummed to life and floated up into the air by itself. Varun's bite was already in Zack's hand as he jumped up in alarm, though confusion plagued his mind. He had tried scanning the medallion the same way dozens of times, but there hadn't been any response until now. What had changed? Was there something different about his mental energy after evolving? Or was it the remnants? However, Zack had no time to get to the bottom of things, as a familiar figure appeared in front of him. His mother. "Zack, my son," Leandra said with a smile marred with longing. "Mom?" Zack said, his mind thrown into chaos once more. "Is that you?" He had just seen a crazed incarnation of his mother during the heart tribulation, but now a completely different Leandra stood in front of him. Her demeanor was in stark contrast to the one the system depicted. There was happiness, but also sadness as she looked upon Zack. "It looks like the integration took place after all," Leandra sighed, not answering his question. "I am glad you are fine, and evolved at that. Where is your sister? Is she okay?"
"Kenzie's fine. Is this really you or an AI?" Zack asked, some doubts worming into his heart when he heard his mother immediately asking about Kenzie.
"It seems you have learned a few truths," Leandra nodded. "You are not speaking with the real me, but a synthetic AI based on me. I left it in the necklace, and it activated now that someone of my blood has reached the E-grade."
"Why wait until now?" Zack asked with a frown.
"My identity is a bit complicated. I am an enemy of the system," Leandra freely admitted. "I couldn't allow any clues of my existence to appear on the planet right after it got integrated. The cursed heavens would have spotted me, which would have put your lives in danger. It should have taken you a while to reach E-grade, and the system has long turned its gaze elsewhere."
"What's going on?" Zack asked, trying to calm his chaotic mind to not miss any details. "Why did you leave back then? Kenzie was just a newborn."
"My family, your family, has been working on a miraculous device with the help of some of the greatest minds of the multiverse for longer than you can imagine. But things turned awry, and most of our clan died. Some people we thought were friends betrayed us in our moment of weakness, out of greed, causing even greater losses," Leandra said, pain and anger flashing in her eyes. "I was badly hurt, but I managed to barely escape. I set course for your homeworld, as it was a desolate rock, far from either integrated or controlled space, where our family once hid a small laboratory. The base was abandoned after the experiments were concluded, to not draw the attention of the system. But I discovered it in our family's archives. I scrubbed any knowledge of it to make it a safe harbor in case I needed it," Leandra said with a wry smile. "Who knew that the desolate world would have turned populated in just a few dozen millennia? My wounds were too harsh, and a safety protocol kicked in where I lost my memories and any aura that could lead my captors to me. Robert found me as I wandered around in your world in a daze, and we had you 2 years later," Leandra smiled. "But when I had Kenzie 10 years later, there were complications, and the pain woke up the real me from its recuperative slumber. My aura was noticed by both the heavens and my enemies, and I was forced to flee Earth shortly after Kenzie was born. I couldn't risk leading my enemies to you, especially not while I wasn't strong enough to protect you. I don't know where the real me is, but I am sure I am still working hard on finding a solution so that I can return to your side,
Leandra said.
Is Kenzie here as well? The time I can stay here is limited. I want to see her before I go,
Leandra said. She is out in the wilderness, training, Zack lied. She will be back in a week or so. Can you wait until then?
Zack felt he could see a spark of turbulent emotions flash in her eyes, though it was quickly masked with a forlorn disappointment.
Well, there will be time for us to meet in the future, Leandra sighed. Be careful, you two. Don't mention your connection to me. It will cause you trouble. And stay away from the mystic realm that seems like a science fiction movie. Some unknown force found it and set up their own experiments after we abandoned the place. It may be extremely dangerous, depending on what they did there. I didn't have a chance to scout it out myself.
Are you really coming to get us? Zack asked, his heart beating in fear-mixed anticipation.
Earth is a low-tiered world with no strong points. The multiverse is a magical place that you cannot even imagine. Staying there will only harm your future, Leandra said with a shake of her head. You need land, resources, and opportunities to reach your full potential. Earth is lacking on all three fronts. Staying there is a waste of your future. Remember to protect your sister. I left a protective AI with her that will be able to help her out, but it is just an assistant in the end. It's not infallible, his mother added. I must go now, or your location will be discovered. Stay safe, Zack.
With that, she was gone, and the medallion once again turned into an inert ornament, as far as Zack could tell. He stood frozen for a few seconds, unsure of what to believe. Seeing another version of Leandra, just after seeing the vision, hadn't really made him clearer on whether his mother was a friend or a foe, or which version was the real one. But there were a few snippets of information that probably were true, as they were mentioned in both encounters. First of all, it really didn't look like she had left willingly. In both versions, she seemed forced to leave Earth because her presence was made known. Secondly, she was coming back. One version felt like a farmer who wanted to harvest her crops, and the other was a loving mother who wanted to provide a better future for her children. His heart wanted to believe that the second version was the true one, but something held him back. There was a voice whispering in his mind that all the projections said was just a cover story to make sure he didn't mess up her plans. Then again, he had become pretty paranoid over the past year, and his opinions were already somewhat swayed after having been shown the original vision. Perhaps that was exactly what the system was aiming for by creating a heart tribulation like that, just as he had initially suspected. But the real question was, did he dare to risk it? Could he really allow his mother to return?
Chapter 76 Heartbeat. Zack wasn't sure. Was he willing to bet his and Kenzie's lives on his mother being a friend who wanted the best for them? Or should he start looking for ways to actively hide from her, just like he was planning to do with the Great Redeemer? Perhaps the two plans could be fused, making sure neither party could find their way to Earth. The more Zack thought about it, the better the idea seemed. He would try to stop Leandra from finding them, at least until they could protect themselves from whatever she had planned. One piece of good news in that regard was that she had been wounded just 30 years ago or so. It might seem like a lifetime to him, but it was just the length of a single round of meditation for high-grade powerhouses. Getting wounded enough to lose your memories at that level must mean that her enemies, possibly the rulers of Firmament's Edge, were extremely powerful, and healing from such a battle could take centuries. It was just like the Great Redeemer and his nasty scar that radiated terrifying energies. He would probably carry that wound for centuries before he could completely heal.
Leandra might be unable to come back for the time being due to being forced to focus on recuperating. She had been awoken ahead of time, and perhaps there were repercussions for that. The longer he had to prepare, the better he could hide himself and his sister. He would begin with the lantern, but he had a feeling that a technocrat's tracking wouldn't be based on something like karmic threads. Perhaps there were anti-technocrat arrays that would stop her from finding Jeeves. The Orthodox forces had been fighting the technocrats for millions of years. There should be all kinds of solutions in circulation. Zack stood up with a grunt and walked out of his courtyard to let his sister know he was fine, but he was surprised to find a drone hovering just a few meters outside. He knew it must have been Kenzie who put it there, and she came running a few seconds later as expected.
"You did it,"
Kenzie said with a wide grin. And Zack nodded with a smile, inwardly thankful he had erected his obscuring arrays around his courtyard before he evolved. Zack knew that he would have to tell her about his visions sooner or later, but now was not the time. However, he couldn't help but feel a sense of foreboding as he saw the undeniable similarities between Kenzie's and Leandra's features. His mother's appearance had always been a bit blurry in his mind, but it was refreshed upon seeing her twice in short order, and Kenzie really took after Leandra, no matter if you spoke of the slightly curled hair or their hazel eyes. Her appearance was a stark reminder that Leandra might come to collect at any moment, and it reignited his desire to become stronger. And the first step toward that end was to open his first hidden node.
"I'm fine," Zack said as he looked around. "I passed the tribulation without any issue. I just wanted to tell you that before I headed inside again."
"What's going on?" Kenzie asked. "Do you need to undergo the tribulation twice because of your two races?"
"No, I actually got two tribulations, but they descended at the same time, so it's dealt with. I have gathered a few things I can finally use now that I'm E-grade," Zack explained. "I can use a few of them while heading toward the dead zone, but some need to be taken while in seclusion. I'll be away for a few more hours."
"Is it dangerous?" Kenzie asked with some worry. "You just passed the tribulations. Don't you need to stabilize your foundation or something?"
"It should be fine," Zack said, though he honestly had no idea. Ariel didn't explain exactly what would happen when he used the Eye of Hartherium, apart from that it would break open a hidden node.
If you were lucky and knew to listen well, it could also expose more of the hidden nodes spread through your body, but only the one node was essentially guaranteed. However, the Lord of Cycles never divulged if there were any dangers to absorbing the treasure. Taking normal pills to gain a level wasn't dangerous from what he had gathered. It mimicked the method used when cultivating, but it sped up the process drastically. It would hurt a bit, but you wouldn't cripple yourself from opening a node this way. It was nothing like forcing them open by cramming the nodes full of cosmic energy. But opening a hidden node was his best shot at getting a direct power spike before setting out to the dead zone. He would be able to force a few nodes open as well while traveling, but he had no idea what to do about the skill quests for the time being. He didn't have any Tao treasures either, at least not that he was aware of. So the hidden node had the highest priority.
"All right, I'll keep helping old man Jemadir with the array," Kenzie said. "Be careful."
"Don't let that old thief scam you," Zack smiled before he returned to the courtyard.
Zack erected the restrictive arrays once more, and he sat down as he took out the box he bought during the trial, the container that held the Eye of Hartherium. It was the most valuable item available in the inheritance, except for Ariel's lock of hair, that is. He gingerly took it out, and the whole courtyard was suddenly drowned in cascading waves of energy. The fluctuations were extremely exotic as well. They neither felt like attuned energies nor Tao energies, but rather something he had never encountered before. Of course, it could simply be a higher-tiered attunement that he was too stupid to recognize. The so-called Eye of Hartherium didn't really look like the Eye of a Beast, which wasn't a surprise, since it actually wasn't one. The Pathfinder eye he recently expended to create Love's Bond was actually part of a slain beast, but this thing was something else entirely. It was rather a natural treasure, a convergence of specific energies that had been given physical form. It was an object created by chance from some unknown event in a dead universe, something that had proven extremely hard or even impossible to reproduce. It meant that the supply was extremely limited, and not something that normally would appear in the hands of someone like him. The name came from the fact that the crystalline clump had a discoloration in the middle that somewhat looked like an eye. Zack didn't eat the treasure, but he rather took off his robe to leave his chest bare before he pushed the item against his navel. Next, he simply started infusing the thing with cosmic energy. The small rock was like a bottomless abyss, swallowing everything Zack threw at it. But it was finally satiated after Zack had spent more than half of his reserves, and the treasure started to sink into his body. He had expected to feel a scorching pain like he had put a piece of coal against his flesh, but nothing of the sort happened. It rather felt like he suddenly had eaten a massive feast, making him a bit bloated. The treasure was quickly getting ready to do its thing, and Zack focused his mind again as he observed the changes. The slightest fluctuation could be a clue to another hidden node, going by how Eriel had explained it, and he didn't want to miss a single thing. The amount of energy Zack could sense from the eye of Hartharium was just shocking, like he had swallowed dozens of high-grade pills in one go. His own cosmic energy was just a fraction of the whole, something to mark the treasure with his own aura. However, the energy ball didn't spread out across his pathways, but it rather set up camp close to his duplicity core. One tendril after another reached out in various directions of his body, like they were some sort of scouts that looked for their target. After having looked around for a bit, they returned, looking slightly expended. This repeated over and over, and Zack tried to engrave every movement and every pause in his mind. However, he started to worry as time passed. He and Eriel had briefly wondered whether he actually had any hidden nodes due to his unique constitution, and things weren't looking too good right now. The ball of energy had almost halved in size over the hours as it sent out one tendril after another in search of a node, but it hadn't found anything of note just yet. Zack refused to give up unless the ball of energy completely ran out of steam, so the search continued until there was finally a change. Zack felt a surge of victory as one of the tendrils froze after having dug into his heart. One tendril after another joined it, until there suddenly were 10 of them reaching inside, clearly having found what they were looking for. The next moment, the main energy ball pounced like a predator going for its prey. Only then did Zack see what the treasure was doing. A major section of his pathways ran through his heart, and 6 normal nodes were surrounding it. However, there was now a small distortion added to the mix right in the middle. Zack was 100% sure that it hadn't been there before, since he had gone over his whole body after his evolution. Or rather, it hadn't been visible to his internal vision. However, the eye had managed to find it, and the small disturbance was quickly enlarged as the 10 tendrils of the Eye of Hartharium poured massive amounts of the mysterious energies into the hidden node. Another stagnant pond quickly appeared, though this one looked completely different to the other ones he had seen so far. It looked like an actual black hole, and any energy that entered it was swallowed without a hint of where it was going. A shudder spread across his body as it suddenly felt like he had 2 hearts, each one beating to its own tune. The new addition was deeper and slower, like the beat of a war drum. Each beat became heavier and heavier, as the hidden node was getting unlocked by the remaining energies of the Eye of Hartharium, and Zack finally couldn't hold on as he spat a mouthful of blood. He was shocked to see that the blood actually looked like brown sludge, but he didn't get a chance to even consider any course of action before he felt a crack in his heart and a surge of energy stormed into his mind. Zack had once again been thrown into a vision, finding himself on an utterly lifeless piece of stone soaring through the vast cosmos. There were no stars around him, leaving the area almost completely shrouded in darkness. The weak light from a distant nebula was all that illuminated the surface of the celestial body, and was the single feature that barely stood out against the bleak surroundings. It was a man, or Zack at least guessed it was a man going by the muscular build, stoically sitting on top of a prayer mat. His features were shrouded in darkness, and most of his body was covered by a simple robe, giving no indication of who it might be. He was completely unmoving as well, utterly blending in with the surroundings to the point Zack would have thought he was a statue or a corpse if it weren't for one detail. The heartbeat. A heavy heartbeat beat once every few seconds, with such vigor that ripples pushed out from around the cultivator's unmoving form. But more interestingly, it looked like there was a pushback the next moment, like a receding wave. The counterforce dragged dense amounts of energy into his body before the man's heart beat once more to send out another ripple to gather even more. It felt as though his heartbeat was absorbing the power of space itself, and even the stars in the distance flickered as if they were affected by the beat as well. It was like this man was an actual black hole, taking everything from the surroundings for himself. It was no wonder that the meteor he was sitting on was completely devoid of life and energies. He had no doubt already consumed it all. Was this some sort of cultivation method based on the heart? Or was it simply the effect of his unique constitution? Was he traveling across the cosmos like a locust, draining any area he passed of its vitality? Zack quickly realized that the meteor was moving with shocking speed as well. They were rapidly closing in on a sun, and looked like they could collide at any moment. However, the man was completely oblivious to his surroundings, and Zack soon understood why. The sun was completely helpless in front of that man's heartbeat, and a massive chunk of flames was ripped from the enormous sphere in an instant. An odd crack in space appeared above the man's head, and the stream of flames was swallowed without leaving a morsel behind. Zack was flabbergasted at the scene, as just a fraction of those streams of flames was far more condensed than the whole scorching sun that Iztain had summoned during the Battle of Fates. Finally, there was a change in the man's demeanor as they whizzed past the dimmed-out sun. Steam rose from his body as he slightly shuddered, and Zack looked on with a mix of confusion and anticipation. It appeared as though the heart cultivator might have swallowed a bit more than he could chew, and Zack was curious to see if he would show some way to deal with the fallout. Zack had found himself in the very same predicament a couple of times, after all, and he had only survived by the skin of his teeth. There was also one more question burning in Zack's mind. Was this man in front of him an ancestor of his, either living or dead? Tao visions showed you people who were walking the same general path as you, such as the Axeman and the Immutable Defender. But this wasn't a Tao vision. It was a vision brought forth from his own body, a hidden node in his heart. And such a vision would probably be based on an ancestor of his.
Chapter 77. Void Heart. Hidden nodes could generally be categorized into two types, from what Zack had gathered. There were the racial nodes that most cultivators of the same race had, such as the Three Gates. Pretty much all humanoids had these three hidden nodes, with one important exception. They could have been swapped out by inherited nodes provided by your bloodline. Perhaps there were more types out there, but those were the two that Zack could gather intelligence on. People with strong enough bloodlines had hidden nodes more specialized for their paths, and these types of inherited nodes were one reason that families with amazing bloodlines churned out so many powerful warriors. However, he was a bit confused by what he saw,
as the most likely source of any bloodlines and inherited nodes was no doubt his mother. However, the shuddering man in front of him definitely didn't look like a technocrat. He was emitting a terrifying force from his body, like his average-sized frame contained endless power. It was the same sort of fierce aura like he had sensed from Greatest, one of a warrior who used his own body as a weapon. However, Zack felt this man was on par with those supreme existences he had seen in his previous visions, rather than some D-grade warrior. Finally, the man stopped shaking, but plumes of steam still rose from his body from the heat he emitted. A small dagger that seemed able to tear space apart by its very existence suddenly appeared in his hand, and he stabbed his leg in one swift motion. A torrent of blood shot to the sky, and Zack was shocked to see the amount. The wound had closed itself in a fraction of a second, but hundreds of liters had poured out in that short window. Weirder yet, the blood didn't actually freeze from the glacial cold of the vacuum of space. In fact, it did the opposite, as it suddenly combusted like it was gasoline rather than blood, lighting up the meteor for a short moment before the area was once more plunged into darkness. It looked like expelling the burning blood had drastically improved the man's situation, and he had once again returned to his statuesque demeanor. The heartbeat, the only proof that the man still lived. Zack slowly woke up from the vision, but he somehow still heard the man's pulse deep in his soul. Each thud made Zack's blood rage, like it followed the mysterious man's heart rather than his own. With every thud, their hearts synchronized a bit more, until Zack's heartbeat was perfectly in tune with the hooded man's. His blood started coursing through his body at unprecedented speeds, but he felt no discomfort at all. It was like his heartbeat was in tune with the universe, and a small ripple spread out from his body before space stabilized itself again. A crackling sound from the sky woke Zack up from his reverie, and he was shocked to see a massive swirl up in the sky. Massive amounts of cosmic energy had gathered into a whirlwind of untamed power, and Zack's eyes lit up in anticipation as he waited for the energy to descend. However, elation quickly turned to confusion before he was filled with annoyance. The energy had no intention of entering his body as it did with the mysterious cultivator in the vision, but it was rather dispersing again now that Zack no longer heard the deep heartbeat. Zack's dreams of a few free levels crashed and burned just as they were born, and he instead turned his attention to a screen that had appeared in front of him.
Void Heart, an all-encompassing heart born from the primordial void.
Zack looked at the screen with some confusion, trying to understand just what this new node meant. It was clear that it was an inherited node he had opened, rather than something like the Three Gates, but the problem was there were a huge number of these inherited nodes, and people rarely divulged them. A hidden node was like a secret weapon of a clan, and one of the most guarded secrets. This had made it impossible for Zack to gain a decent understanding of inherited nodes, like what limits and capabilities they usually had. But he had learned a thing or two from Galau, who had freely admitted that his clan possessed no inherited nodes. Getting an unknown inherited node, rather than one of the Three Gates, could be both good and bad for him, as inherited nodes ranged from being extremely overpowered to utter trash. Void Heart seemed to be a node that helped with cultivation, rather than giving a direct boost to his power, like the common nodes like the Flesh Gate. But the description was unfortunately of the less informative variety. The all-encompassing was no doubt referring to the man's ability to seemingly absorb any energy, as he swallowed anything he passed, even a sun. There was also, no doubt, an element of energy gathering to the node, evidenced by the convergence of cosmic energy in the sky just now. Unfortunately, improving energy absorption might mean that it increased cultivation speed, which would be pretty useless to Zack, since he couldn't cultivate. What if this void heart kept gathering massive amounts of energies around him, but he could only look at it from a distance, unable to take it for himself? Wouldn't that be a novel method of torture? But the vision gave him an inkling that it might not be exactly the case. There seemed to be two components to the ability that the node provided, judging by the vision. The first was the heart, and the second was the blood. The heart seemed to swallow the energy of the area, which was related to some sort of absorption, though not necessarily one related to normal cultivation. The man also exsanguinated himself on purpose, and there was clearly something wrong with the blood. Zack's best guess was that it was a node that would allow him to absorb various types of energies better than a normal warrior, but that kind of absorption would fill his heart with impurities or toxins. The exsanguination would in turn allow him to simply flush the toxins out of his body. It was a system of keeping the good and expelling the bad. Something like that seemed to match with Zack's impressions of his own body as well. He had survived his body getting crammed full of all kinds of weird energies until now. There was the cosmic water, then the storm of miasma in the dead zone, and finally the high-grade energies of the two remnants in his mind. His body was clearly unnaturally resilient to all kinds of energies, and this hidden node might actually be the first step toward taking advantage of this, more than just surviving. It was just a hypothesis, but one easily tested. Zack took out a miasma crystal from his spatial ring and absorbed some of its energy. At first he felt extreme nausea, having condensed death-attuned energies in his system, but something mysterious soon happened. The death-attuned energies entered his pathways and were shot in a few quick revolutions through his body, but each time they entered his heart, the nausea lessened. A few minutes later, the feeling was gone altogether. But there instead was a chilliness in his veins. Zack took out his axe and drew a small cut on his arm, and blood that was slightly darker than normal started dripping down on the ground. It was barely discernible, but then again, he had only absorbed death-attuned energies from the miasma crystal for a short duration. Perhaps his blood would turn into the black ichor altogether if he kept at it long enough. This quick experiment clearly indicated he was on the right path with the node, but this obviously wasn't the right way to utilize the hidden node. It would be a lot more efficient to simply use a normal Nexus crystal in this case, as there would be no need to waste time and energy on cleansing it. But some things might work, such as natural treasures. A lot of herbs and other natural oddities contained massive amounts of energy, but they were too chaotic and toxic to ingest unless made into pills or concoctions first. And sometimes even that was impossible. Besides, this sort of refinement always led to a significant loss in energy, at least among pills made by normal alchemists. Perhaps it wasn't the case with top-tier alchemists in the multiverse, but it wasn't like Zack had access to those kinds of people. He didn't dare try that out right now, though, as he might be badly wounded if proven wrong. But if he was right, then he might have found the key to leveling up quickly in E-grade, perhaps even beyond. He might not be able to gobble up a sun anytime soon, but he might be able to bargain hunt for energy-rich items that were normally too chaotic to turn into anything useful. He really wanted to find the little blue merchant and requisition some items immediately, but he knew that such experiments would have to wait until after the undead horde. Instead, he left his courtyard only to find Emily waiting some distance from the gates. She was lazily throwing rocks at a drone that deftly dodged the small projectiles. Zack was a bit surprised to see the teenager here, as she was out at sea last time he heard, boosting the intelligence for the scouts and water mages in charge of searching for the jamming arrays.
"You're back! But why do you look the same?" Emily added from the side, as she suspiciously looked him up and down. "And what did you do just now? I thought you were about to upgrade the Nexus vein or something."
"It didn't work out, unfortunately," Zack said with a smile.
You'll have to make do with the normal one for now. And why would I look different?
Suddenly, a fiery axe appeared in her hand, and she threw it at Zack.
Wow!
She screamed as she looked at Zack with wide eyes.
Monster! At least you got stronger. A lot stronger. How am I supposed to beat you up now?
I guess you'll have to work harder, Zack snorted.
Aren't people supposed to become more handsome when evolving? But you're still the same monk as ever,
Emily said, waving at Kenzie, who was coming over as well.
You're thinking of race upgrades, Zack sighed with some exasperation as he ran his hand across his once again bald head. I haven't upgraded that yet. I thought you were helping the others looking for the jamming arrays.
I returned when I heard you were back. I'm coming with you to fight the zombies,
Emily said, her face scrunching up with stubbornness when seeing Zack's frown.
You might need me. What if you're just too weak to win? Wouldn't you feel stupid if you got stuck outside an array, just lacking 10% strength to get through?
Fine, Zack sighed. But you should know that even getting to the mainland will be risky.
I'm going as well,
Kenzie suddenly added from the side.
What? Why?
Zack said, just stopping short of staunchly refusing.
Calrin and I figured out a few of the array breakers while you evolved, but you probably won't be able to use them,
Kenzie explained.
They either take a few weeks of study or general knowledge of formations, so I need to go as well.
Zack really didn't want to bring his sister to the heart of the Dead Zone, but he knew that he might not have much of a choice. It was all hands on deck right now, and Kenzie might be the foremost expert on arrays among all the natives of Earth. There were more skilled people among the Sky Gnomes and the Creators, but he couldn't bring them for something like this due to the limitations of the mercantile system.
All right, Zack sighed before he turned to the demon who had appeared to the side as well. Did you evolve as well?
No, Agras said. Me evolving won't change the grand scheme of things in the battle with the undead. I need a month or two to consolidate everything. So, what classes did you get? Epic? Or even arcane?
It's too early for me to get an arcane, Zack said. It's not a good idea to get that rarity before you really know what you're doing, from what I gathered.
Well, I guess that excludes you. So what did you end up with?
The demon said, almost leaning forward in anticipation.
What about you? Zack snorted. There's no way you didn't check out your options while I evolved.
He did, like 2 seconds after you left, Kenzie smiled from the side. But he won't say what options he got.
Why aren't you working on that reinforcement array?
Agras said with some exasperation. Zack laughed, but he was inwardly a bit worried about the demon. Was there some trouble with his evolution? He had seemed pretty intent on evolving the moment they returned, based on their discussions in the tower. But something seemed to have changed his mind. He knew that the demon had a rare class right now. Was he perhaps lacking something to get an option? Or was it the opposite? Did he feel that he was on the verge of getting enough merit to be provided with an epic class, and closing out the undead incursion might give him the final push to take that step?
Chapter 78. Balance. Thankfully, it wasn't critical to Zack's plan that Agras had evolved. He mainly wanted to bring the demon for his obscuring capabilities, and those seemed to be mainly based on his Tao of Shadows. Getting a boost to his main attribute, dexterity, probably wouldn't make those skills any stronger. The fact that Agras wouldn't be as strong wasn't a huge deal either, as he would personally deal with the Lich King. However, as Zack looked around at the three people, he was reminded that no man was an island. Certainly none of these people were nearly as strong as him in direct battle, but they all brought something to the table that would increase the odds of success. He realized now how foolish his initial idea to deal with the undead empire alone was.
I've done what I can about that array, Kenzie said as she pointed toward the house, housing Zack's private teleportation array. The old gnome is performing the finishing touches over there.
I'm thinking of leveling up immediately, Zack said, changing the topic. Is there any problem for me to start taking the pills I've prepared?
Not that I'm aware of, Agras said. That's usually how it goes. Of course, most people spend years at the peak of F grade to solidify their progression. But you should be fine. You're a meathead who finds your path in battle anyway. I'm not sure sitting down and meditating will do you any good. Just eat it, and then stabilize your foundation by bashing zombies.
Sounds good to me, Zack said as he took out one of the pills that would give him a level. It wasn't the Four Gates pill, with spirituality he'd found during the hunt, though. He wasn't sure if he wanted to eat that thing right now or save it for when he hit a roadblock. It might even be something that he could use to open up more hidden nodes in the future. There were no guarantees, but Zack felt he had a pretty good idea about the location of one hidden node, at least, thanks to ingesting the treasure earlier. He had observed every movement of the energy tendrils from the Eye of Hartharium, and it had sent his tendrils to one specific spot multiple times, and they had stayed there with hesitation for a bit before moving on. This node was close to a crossroads of pathways on the top of his head. He obviously couldn't be sure, but he believed that the node the tendrils had found might be the Spirit Gate, one of the three common hidden nodes. It supposedly increased your control over mental energy by a large degree, which was something Zack desperately needed. His control was atrocious because of his non-existent affinity to the Taos, but opening the Spirit Gate might allow him to at least control his Taos to the same degree as most cultivators did. He probably wouldn't reach the level of people like Cathaya or Iztain, but it was at least something. His goal wasn't to become the most powerful man in the universe or anything, but he still wanted to maintain his ability to punch above his weight class. Being an elite was the best deterrence, after all. People still spoke about the Evening Tide Asura in hushed tones after a million years. He wanted to create that same effect, so that Earth would be left alone without him having to guard the planet day and night. Of course, there was no guarantee that the pill he picked up during the hunt was any good for opening hidden nodes, and he didn't want to take the gamble just yet. Judging by the power it contained, it might even be able to break open nodes at high E grade. Besides, he still knew nothing about his Void Heart. Perhaps he would see far better results if he waited to take that pill until he could maximize the benefits with that node somehow. There was a chance that the node might have an impact on the absorption of pills, after all. But until then, there were still a bunch of normal pills he could take. He couldn't wait any longer, and he took out one of his normal leveling pills. Zack really wanted to know how leveling would work in E grade. The attribute gains were split between opening nodes and gaining levels, and he still didn't know if the node breaking needed to be done in both his forms. "And eating these kinds of pills won't weaken or wound me before the battle?" Zack asked.
"It'll hurt, but not like forcing it open with excess energy," the demon said as he looked on with curiosity. Zack nodded and popped the pill in his mouth as he sat down. The pill felt like a small sun that ran down his throat before it hit his stomach. However, the energies didn't set up camp, like the Eye of Hartharium, but it rather shot out like it had a life of its own. The little packet of energy surged around his body with shocking speed until it suddenly stopped at one of the weak spots in his right arm. Zack was a bit surprised, as he had simply assumed that it would go clockwise from where his duplicity core was placed. But it looked like it was random. The intensity of the pill energy kept increasing as a huge amount of warmth streamed into the node, and Zack was shocked at how much energy the unassuming bead had contained. It was just like Agras had said. It hurt a bit, but it wasn't too bad.
It almost felt like he was getting pinched. However, his brows started to furrow as time passed. Over 20 minutes had passed, and the pill was starting to lose its steam. However, the node showed no signs of changing, and the pill finally petered out. Zack felt the same, but he opened his status screen to be sure. But just as expected, he was still level 75.
"Wasn't this thing supposed to guarantee a level up to level 80?
Zack complained as he opened his eyes and turned to the demon.
"What now?"
The demon looked perfectly jubilant as a grin spread across his face.
"I guess there's some justice in the world after all," Agros snorted. "If you gained levels quickly on top of everything, the rest of us might just as well have given up."
"Well?"
"I don't know. Take another one. You should have a few."
The demon shrugged as he looked at Zack as though he was an interesting oddity. He also threw a cosmos sack at Zack, who caught it with an inquisitive look. It wasn't like Agras to freely give out any gifts.
"These are some of the gifts I gathered from the rich bastards in Basetown earlier. There should be a few dozen such pills inside. I handed most of it over to the gnomes to categorize," Agras said as a grin spread across his face again. "Now let's see how many you need to eat to break open the first node."
Zack sighed, but he could only oblige. He took out a second pill that guaranteed the same effect, and he was relieved to see that the pill energy stopped at the same node as the last one and continued the work there. However, his frown quickly returned as the pill energy quickly drained while the node stayed the same. Only at the last second did he feel something change in his body. It was like he had cracked his neck and suddenly felt looser. His body felt lighter, and the energy surged through his body with greater vigor. Zack quickly looked inward and saw that the weak spot had completely transformed. The murky pond that sucked energy had changed into a slowly rotating whirlpool that kept moving from its own momentum. It reminded Zack of the Tao whirl he had experimented with a bit during the time he'd tried to keep the Draugr wound in check with the Seed of Trees. A quick check on the status screen showed him that he had gained 7 points to the base attributes, but surprisingly enough, he hadn't gained the extra strength and vitality from gaining a level in Edge of Arcadia. He frowned in annoyance and ate another pill, ignoring the demon's snicker from the side. 10 minutes later, the whirlpool had gone from a slightly weak swirl into a surging but stable whirlpool that empowered rather than weakened his pathways. He had finally gained a level and reached level 76 in his Edge of Arcadia class. It looked like 2 pills weren't quite enough for both opening the node and gaining the level, but the third one did the trick. He would probably have been better off using a Nexus crystal after the node was opened, as breaking the node was the hard part. After that, he only needed to gather enough energy to qualify for a level increase. But he had been a bit impatient, and the condensed energies in these pills were far more efficient for this purpose, though they left some toxins behind. Having to use 3 pills wasn't great news when only one was supposed to guarantee a level, but it also wasn't too bad, especially after having gotten his new hidden node. However, there was one more problem. He didn't gain anything for his Draugr side, it seemed. Neither levels nor nodes. Zack gave it a thought before he activated his duplicity core, and he changed into his Draugr form for the second time this day. A glance at his status screen proved what he already knew. Fetters of Desolation was still at level 75. However, there was an interesting change when he checked out the node in his right arm. It had actually turned into a whirlpool as well, but it was so weak that it was almost completely unmoving. It was far worse than it had been in his human side at any point in time, and it looked like it could die out at any moment. It was obviously lacking energy, perhaps the full amount needed for a level.
Node breaking was something that affected both his classes simultaneously, it seemed, but he would need to fill the nodes with energy separately. That, unfortunately, confirmed that he wouldn't get a second set of base attributes, and that he no longer would get twice the amount of attributes from levels compared to others. This was a pretty big blow to his unique advantages. His massive pool of raw attributes was his greatest ace against the cultivators who could fuse their DAOs and empower their strikes with their cultivation manuals. He would still get more points than others, but the difference was nowhere near as big any longer. It was a very important reminder that he couldn't relax in the pursuit of power. You needed to keep pushing yourself and keep finding new opportunities to advance. If he couldn't steamroll people with raw stats any longer, then he would simply have to find another advantage. The first thing that came to mind was the 9 Reincarnations manual that hopefully would be able to make his soul strong enough to handle the remnants. The second thing was the possibility of getting rewards for closing down the last incursions and reaping the rewards.
"How are your preparations?" Zack asked as he got back to his feet. "How soon can we leave?"
"We're ready any time,"
Kenzie said as she got up from the table she had summoned while Zack focused on leveling up.
"Good. There's no time to waste," Zack said. "We're heading out in 1 hour. Get a defensive squad of Valkyries as well."
"I can protect myself," Kenzie disagreed.
"Yes, but Emily is a support class who needs guardians. We're going all out here, and we have no idea what we might be facing," Zack said. "I'll be able to unleash more power if I know you guys are safe."
"Fine. We'll get everything in order," Kenzie nodded. "Meet back here?"
"I'll go see if I can get some goodies from that slippery bastard we picked up in the underworld," Agros muttered. "Knowing you, things will turn pretty chaotic over there."
With that, he disappeared in a puff of shadows, and Emily sat down on a rock and started to play with her tomahawks. Kenzie sent out a drone before she walked back to the teleportation house, no doubt to make sure the stabilization array would be installed in time.
"Good,"
Zack muttered as he simply sat down under the sun to start stabilizing his mind.
"In 1 hour, we'll assault the undead incursion."
"As long as we don't get ripped apart by the spatial turbulence," Zack added in his mind.
Chapter 79. Turbulence.
"You sure you need me for this?" Agros said as he looked at the modified teleportation array with some trepidation. "It might cause less strain on the array the fewer people who go. It might be better if I just stay behind after all."
"This is our only shot, and I might not be able to deal with this alone," Zack said. "Besides, what are you whining about? Even a teenager is going, and you're afraid?"
"Sending 2 or 10 people won't really make a difference to the array,"
Kenzie added from the side, a hint of schadenfreude in her eyes.
"As long as we enter at the same time, we have as good a chance of surviving as when going alone."
"Don't speak such unlucky words," Agros muttered,
but it looked like he had resigned himself to going with the rest.
"Is there anything we need to know?"
Zack asked the old sky gnome to the side.
"The moment this spatial reinforcement array activates, it will cause a clash with whatever the unliving have planned,"
Jem'Adir said.
"If you see new destinations appearing in the teleportation screen, it means it's working. For the time being."
"For the time being?"
Zack repeated skeptically.
"Our array will probably only last a minute or two against the jammers of the undead empire, so you can't dally or hesitate," Kenzie said. "Immediately pick an option, and we'll all jump onto the array. We can't waste a single second. Just make sure you don't pick a town in the wrong direction."
Zack looked around, his eyes turning to Joanna and her squad of 6 Valkyries, who silently stood behind her. Zack recognized all of them,
as they were all among the oldest members who had followed him all the way from Greenworth. They had followed him to both close incursions and conquer the underworld. The constant battle had utterly reforged them into stalwart warriors. Their gear had been swapped out since the last time he saw them, though. All of them wore massive shields made from chitinous shells on their backs, each one large enough to cover their whole bodies. Their goal in the upcoming fight wasn't to boost Zack's prowess, but rather use their newly acquired war arrays to protect the rear against unanticipated attacks. He couldn't always protect Emily and his sister, but this group of six would hopefully be able to stall long enough for him to come to their aid. Zack took a deep breath before he turned to the ancient sky gnome, who stood by to the side.
"Do it,"
Zack said as he opened his teleportation screen. It only showed the handful of teleportation arrays that were studded across the island, but nothing beyond that. He heard some tinkering sounds as the gnome drew some lines to connect the final power outlets, and a hum suddenly echoed out from the array as Zack felt his vision doubling for a second. However, Zack forcibly ignored the odd effect and chose a town he recognized. It was one of the newly created settlements close to the shore of Pangaea, as he figured a shorter jump would have a higher success rate. Zack jumped into the array, dragging a swearing Agros by his lapel, just in case the demon chose to change his mind at the last second. The array whisked them away, and his surroundings were replaced by darkness. However, something felt wrong. It was as though he were being squeezed through a too-thin pipe. The discomfort quickly turned to pain, but there was nothing he could do about it. He wasn't in control of himself during these types of teleportations, and he could only endure the pain and pray that the others were fine. But the darkness of subspace suddenly cracked, and Zack found himself far up in the sky, heedlessly tumbling from the wind as droplets of blood rained down all around him. Screams echoed out from every direction, and he saw multiple bloodied people flailing about. He was obviously wounded as well, judging by the blood around him, but they were flesh wounds at worst, considering his sturdy frame. However, his sister and Emily weren't so lucky, and they were utterly drenched in blood as they fell toward the ground. The scene made his heart burn with anxiety, and four chains shot out as Love's Bond transformed to its backpack form. The emerald leaf appeared beneath him the next moment, and 5 seconds later, the whole group was collected and safe. Agros and Kenzie had appeared on top of the leaf by their own means, whereas Joanna had managed to throw out ropes to half the Valkyries. Zack only needed to snatch up a screeching Emily and the rest of the Valkyries. Thankfully, everyone was fine, apart from getting bloodied. No one had died, and no one sported a crippling wound. Only then did Zack take stock of their whereabouts, and he frowned when he realized they were above the open sea. No matter what direction he looked in, there was nothing, just sky and water. There was a pretty nasty storm cloud in one direction, but there was not a hint of shoreline.
"Is everyone okay?" Joanna said with a hoarse voice from the side. "I'm fine," Kenzie said as she ate a healing pill. "I think they booby-trapped subspace by filling it with spatial tears or something. If we had continued the whole way, we would probably have emerged as chunks of meat. Thankfully, we installed a failsafe in the array that would take us out of subspace if it got deadly."
"You did?" Zack said with surprise.
"Do you think I would gamble with all our lives?" Kenzie retorted with exasperation.
"Where the hell are we, though?" Agros muttered from the side as shadows rushed through his alabaster hair and face to remove any blood.
"We can't be anywhere close to the dead zone," Joanna said as she looked around. "The array in the sky is massive, yet we can't see it at all. I think we might be some distance away from the continent." "Well, we'll just have to fly," Kenzie said as she pointed in a certain direction. "We should hit land as long as we move in that direction."
Zack guessed that Jeeves had calculated it for her, based on the suns in the sky or something, and he sent a mental command to the leaf. However, Zack soon enough handed over the task of steering the vessel to Joanna, as he wanted to take the opportunity to start leveling up in earnest. The leaf was terrifyingly quick, but New Earth was also shockingly large, so now was as good a time as any to start eating his stock of node-breaking pills. There was the issue of pill toxicity, but right now wasn't a time to worry about that. Besides, his new hidden node might even have some ability to deal with toxicity. He didn't feel any better after getting bled by the spatial tears, but he also shouldn't carry a lot of toxicity just yet. He doubted he would let him eat pills indiscriminately, even if it worked, but it would still be a great help since he didn't have access to things like cleansing arrays at the moment. Now that Zack knew what kind of energies he was dealing with, he felt confident enough to swallow 2 node-breaking pills at once. He wanted to see whether they attacked different nodes, or if there was some sort of system to which nodes were opened.
"Lunatic?" A disgusted grunt came from the side as the demon looked on with shock. "The heavens won't abide with you forever, you know."
Zack only flipped the demon off in response before he focused on the 2 balls of fire that had erupted in his belly. He was happy to see that they both stopped by one of the nodes in his left leg after having skittered about for a bit, as that proved that he would be able to improve his leveling speed as long as his body could take the extra strain. But Zack started sweating from pain the moment the 2 streams of power entered the nodes. There wasn't a simple doubling of pain when taking 2 pills, but rather an exponential increase by 10 times. It felt like his leg was getting continuously stabbed, but he gritted his teeth and endured it until the pain finally stopped after half an hour. Was this what it would feel like to brute force nodes in the future? This time, the node didn't even break open even after ingesting 2 pills, so Zack simply slammed 2 more of them. Another bout of agony lasting for half an hour passed, and the second node had finally been opened. He took a shuddering breath before he kept going. It felt like torture, but he wanted to gain as many levels as possible before he reached the dead zone, especially now that he had brought his people with him. Zack didn't know how much time had passed, as he crammed 1 pill after another down his gullet as though he were possessed. Sweat streamed down his body, and soon enough, the sweat had turned red as he actually started bleeding from his pores. His sister